This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You know, Craig, many years ago, when I was fresh out of... Craig Hoffman is in for... Grant Paulson this week, Friday and the rest of next week. Years ago, when I was right out of college, still paying off a bunch of student loan debt and getting ready to figure out what the hell I wanted to do. It was clearly, of course, become a stand-up comic, be broke for years, and then work my way onto the radio show I grew up listening to. When I coached Andrew Sharp his freshman year of basketball, I knew one day he and I would be speaking on the radio about the NBA trade deadline. We knew it then. Andrew Sharp, Sports Illustrated, joins us now. Andy's, what's up, dude?
What's up, man? Take me back to the glory days. Freshman basketball. Never gets better than that.
It was great. Andrew was a great teammate. He was great to have on the team. He was nice. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with that, Craig?
I see. Were you not saying he was sneaky athletic? Are you going to go that far?
I wouldn't even go that far. He was just okay. A little sneaky.
Andy, yeah.
Let's jump into this, brother. No one saw what Cleveland did coming, right? I mean, there's just no way we knew it was going to be this drastic. I thought they were going to make a Band-Aid move to make LeBron happy, but this is crazy.
Yeah, it was really impressive, to be honest with you. I mean, I think talking to people around the league, even as late as like Wednesday afternoon, nobody thought that the Cavs could really pull this off and turn the season around. I mean, I talked to a lot of people who were like, this team looks done, and there's no move out there that can fix it. But I think you have to start with the Lakers deal, where they get Jordan Clarkson, who can help them off the bench and be kind of a version of what Isaiah Thomas should have been, as sort of a sixth or seventh man who plays 20 to 25 minutes a game. And then Larry Nance adds a lot of athleticism. And then on top of that, you bring in George Hill, who's actually a capable starting point guard, and Rodney Hood, who is a better version of what J.R. Smith has been for them. So, like, they upgraded half their team. And I don't think anybody saw this coming, and they now look like the favorites in the East again. But, I mean, we have to see how it fits together, but they are in much better shape than they were 24 hours ago.
I feel like we know what we're getting with Hill and Nance, but the ceiling of this deal is dependent on Clarkson and Hood. In your best estimation, who are those players who have been both very inconsistent in their careers? Who are they as players playing next to LeBron?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think Jordan Clarkson is going to be the type of guy who sort of holds down the bench units, and I don't know how much time he's going to spend with LeBron. He's better on ball than he is off ball, But Rodney Hood he has to stay healthy, first of all, because that's been an issue for him over the last 3 years. I think he would be in a different category of players if he had stayed healthy, but that's a question mark. I think one of the other things to watch, because he should start in Cleveland, but J.R. Smith is currently starting, and there was some drama around that early in the year, and they had to reinsert him in the starting lineup, and he has been one of the worst starters in the entire league this year. And so I think they're going to have to sort of massage that situation and make sure that he's okay with coming off the bench. But Hood has a much higher ceiling, and I think next to LeBron, he fits pretty well off the ball.
Sports Illustrated's Andrew Sharp joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, Craig in for Grant. So let's go to this LeBron situation. He's doing his annual move where he hamstrings Cavaliers management, right? Pay my buddies, pay my friends. Then he can't believe when they can't add talent. They're paying like an outrageous amount of luxury tax already. So he's pouting. I think it was like the other night he was like 3 for 11, like with like 12 turnovers, like didn't care. Next thing you know, he's reinvigorated with life. What does that do to the long-term LeBron prospects in Cleveland? Or are you still just going to, you know, hold them hostage, but still maybe just test free agency again and go somewhere else? What do you think this does for that?
Well, first of all, free agency-wise, it's wide open, man. I mean, I don't think that this makes Cleveland any more attractive long term for him. I do as a fan of basketball, I'm glad we don't have to watch that miserable Cavs team for another 3 months. And as far as LeBron, though, I mean, you're right. Like that's been his move the last couple of years. He sort of put it on cruise control, and like he's so good that he can play on cruise control and still be better than almost anybody in the league. But he's good enough to make even the prior version of the Cavs better than they were. And he's just been kind of coasting lately. And I guess it's partly just to sort of put pressure on management, but like, that's kind of who LeBron has been. And so we're now more than a decade in, and it's kind of becoming clear what the playbook is for him. And you have to hand it to him, it sort of worked. I mean, management responded, and he's now got a much younger, more athletic team, which I think is a win for basketball. Like, the NBA is more interesting when LeBron has help.
There's a couple of guys that we thought would move yesterday that didn't. In the end, what is the move that didn't get made by a team that should have been made?
I can't really understand why the Celtics didn't go after Tyreke Evans, because, I mean, even in Washington last night, you saw, like, they just have trouble scoring a lot of times and will go long stretches of quarters without really having anybody to go get a bucket. And that's exactly the type of player that Tyreke Evans is. So I think they felt like Greg Monroe was enough to sort of shore up their bench, but they could have gotten Tyreke Evans for giving up their own first round pick, which I think is probably going to be like 27th or 28th. And to me, it just seems like that's kind of a low cost move. And the East is wide open enough. At least it was before the Cavs made those moves. I would have made that move if I were Boston.
Andrew, let's go to the Wizards here locally in D.C. I actually like what they did, even though it's a very small move, put themselves back into that buyout market. But they were kind of a crossroads, you know, with the uncertainty of John Wall, whether he's coming back at all this year. I know the reports initially were optimistic, but it's expecting an awful lot for a guy to have a week to play himself into shape and then be ready for the playoffs and kind of folding him back in. I think that's kind of overly bullish. But they could have sacrificed some long-term. They've already got a lot committed long-term. They were an interesting spot. I think they did the best with kind of a bad situation, the Ernie Grunfeld staple.
Yeah, you know, I think they did okay. I'm interested to see what direction they go in the buyout market. They had a couple deals in place that they could have done with Gortat. And they were talking to a couple teams, and one deal was in place, but they decided to just keep him long term and or keep him through next year, basically because none of the deals they were discussing with Gortat was going to give them back a center who could play the rest of the way, and they weren't willing to bet the rest of the season on Mahinmi. And so I'm glad they stood pat there. The only thing I do think that we're going to hit a point where they have to decide what they want to do with Kelly Oubre. And they decided to keep him now, which is fine. But I think at some point they're going to have to either pay him more money than he's worth in free agency, or decide to move him before they hit that point. So that's sort of the summer decision. And then they're also going to probably have to revisit the Gortat situation in the summer.
Andrew Sharp, SI, with us, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Last thing for you: does anything that happened yesterday changed your hierarchy of the Eastern Conference?
Yes. I mean, I definitely, coming into yesterday, I would have said that the Cavs are done, and now the Cavs are very firmly in the mix and probably at the top of that hierarchy if you're talking about the playoffs. But it's wild. I mean, looking up and down the conference, it's going to be really interesting once we get to the playoffs because, you know, like, the Wizards are still, I believe, in fourth place and firmly in the mix. And Danny's right to be a little wary of whether or not John Wall is actually going to be able to come back and be a factor in the playoffs. But they'll be right there, the Raptors and the Celtics, obviously. And then you have this tier of teams like the Bucks, the Sixers, the Pistons have been playing really well. So it can go a lot of different directions, and there's basically the Cavs and then a cluster of like six good teams who might not actually be great, but could also beat anyone on any given night. So I'm excited to see where this goes over the next couple months.
Andrew, always good to catch up, brother. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you. That is Andrew Sharp, Sports Illustrated. Give him a follow at Andrew Sharp on Twitter. Just knows the association, man. I love getting his take. The Olympics kind of started. There was like an event. There was a thing. Craig, I don't know how much important the thing was. Maybe it's like the par three contest before that one golf tournament that people sort of pretend to care about or not care about. And then it's not on TV for some reason. I don't know. The Olympics are underway. Winter Olympics, they're getting started. What events are you in on? What do you care about? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Also, we got a little winning off the field at 11:45. And I want to get into this McDaniels story. There's another layer to it that I thought was really interesting. We will do that 11:18 on 106.7 The Fan. Hey, still Danny Ruggie. I want to tell you guys, Valentine's Day is coming up. She's a creeping closer. Valentine's Day, it can go wrong. Valentine's Day can. It went wrong for me once. I thought, I don't need to get any flowers. That was incorrect. I will never make that mistake again. I use ProFlowers.com. You should too. They are excellent. Valentine's Day bouquet from ProFlowers is the perfect way to make a big impression. You choose classic red roses. You can go that route or try something new from the huge assortment of unique bouquets. I did that last year. Got this nice spring tulip situation. The wife was impressed. She didn't know that I knew what a tulip was. She figured out, hey, my husband's all right. Thanks to ProFlowers. You can win Valentine's Day. Look like a hero. Guaranteed to be delivered fresh, and it stays fresh for at least 7 days. You choose the delivery date, and boom goes the dynamite. It's locked in. Guaranteed. Listeners to the Grant and Danny Show, you can send a bouquet to your Valentine. Save 20%. Of your purchase of $29 or more. So 20% off your purchase of $29 or more at proflowers.com. Promo code Grant and Danny. That's promo code Grant and Danny in the special codes box at checkout. Proflowers.com. Nail Valentine's Day. We will win off the field together. We don't do it for thumb. We don't do it for Dar. We don't do it for Drabby or Valdez or Craig Hoffman or Chris Russell or Danny or Grant. No. We do it for Bruce. And we're going to do it for Bruce at 11:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Still got to get into this Josh McDaniels, the next layer of the story, which I find kind of fascinating. But first, the Winter Olympics. Again, I keep going back to this. There was something that happened that everyone was tweeting about last night that was an actual Winter Olympics event. I don't know what it was. It was like a team figure skating thing. The one guy that I heard of named Nathan Chen did something, and then I don't know if it mattered or not. Point is, the Winter Olympics are underway. NBC's making a big deal about it. They're in Pyeongchang, in and around South Korea. It's a long way away, obviously, so that's going to affect watching, viewership, times, tape delays, how they handle those sorts of things, etc. It's a lot of Bob Costas telling me why something's important or not.
Well, update, Tirico is the main host.
Oh, whatever. Costas isn't doing it at all?
So I think he's still there, but Tirico is the primetime host of this year. So went from one Syracuse broadcaster to another, we still hold the torch, so to speak.
There are 102 events, I think, by
I thought you were saying there's 102 Syracuse broadcasters also.
Well, there are a lot
also
of those.
Correct.
So there's a bunch of different things, and what the Olympics try to do is the hardcore sports viewer is already in. So, for example, the Summer Olympics comes around, I'm going to watch the 100 meters.
Yeah.
I need to see Usain Bolt and if an American can beat him. I need to see if Tyson Gay can do it or any of the other guys that are up and coming. We'll see if it happens or not. The swimming I'm going to watch. Gymnastics I'm going to watch. Events where Americans excel and the world truly participates, I'm in. I love the summer games. Everyone always downplays them. I never downplay them. I love them. People downplay them, then they start to watch them. They go, oh, yeah, that's right. I care about all these.
Especially because they often come on in that worst time of the sports calendar of like late July, early August.
And the beautiful thing about it is all the Summer Olympic things, not all of them, but the majority, came from the original Olympics. So you're going back to like pan-Hellenic times where how far can you throw a rock? How far can you throw a spear? How fast can you run? Can you cover a certain distance? How far can you jump? You got to swim over an obstacle. All these things are based on real things that used to happen for like soldier training. That's how it was back in the day. That's not what the Winter Olympics are. It's rich countries getting down a mountain. You get up a mountain, you get yourself into a problem. How do we get down? Do we take a sled? Do we take skis? Do we take up a machine? To me, it's the X Games on some steroids. But whatever, I digress. I've made my opinion very clear. 800-636-1067. I'm willing to give some things a chance. Like, I'd never seen handball, really.
Handball's exciting.
The USA doesn't really do handball very well. By the way, I wish the mid-level D1 basketball prospect, like 6'3 guy that like can't probably go pro, just got into handball. I wish handball was popular in the U.S. I think we'd kick all those dudes behind. I would love it. So I discovered like handball. I got into fencing with the summer games.
Fencing's a bit much for me, but handball, I'm with you on.
It's over the top, but there are these rivalries, and like this one guy's good with the epee. Ooh, I get steamed. Point is, you can try to sell me on something. Because Craig and I are in lockstep. Grant's more excited about it than I am.
Yeah.
You and me are just not into it.
Yeah, this is going to be a group sales job by you, the callers, at 800-636-1067, to Danny and I, the rather disinterested consumers here. But put your best NBC marketing hat on, and let's see what you got.
I care about actual sports, right? You know my philosophy on sports. It's not a sport unless it has defense. So activities where you go out and play golf, and defense is the ground or dirt or a bush or a tree, it's an activity.
I love that addition. I've always said the sport checklist, competition, athletic ability. The defense thing, but then you get some wacky things that fit that, and I go, I guess.
Right.
The defense, that eliminates the wackiness. You've solved one of my life's great problems.
It is a long-running philosophy I've had, and people respond, it's really difficult.
I don't care. I could go home now. I don't think you understand how happy I am about this.
You should be. It's a wonderful philosophy.
Yes.
It's just so empirically correct. Sports have defense. Just because something is hard doesn't make it a sport.
Correct. That's not to knock. You know, college gymnasts are incredibly impressive.
It's a demonstration of skill. Calculus is really hard, not a sport.
Right.
Juggling is really hard. It's a skill, really hard. I can't do it. I can't juggle.
And then you get things like chess, and we can be like, okay, there's defense, but there's no athletic ability, not a sport.
There you go. Sports have defense. Other things are just activities that you do when you retire. It's really the shot at golf. Point is, just, I can't stand the timed sports. It's so monotonous. Because, for example, when they got these cameras, you could tell these losers or the skeleton guys or the bobsled guys are whizzing by at whatever miles an hour.
Yeah.
You don't know how they're doing, except there's that little clock that's running in the corner. And if it's green, it's good. It means they're less. And if it's red, you can't see anything having to do with it. Because, again, they're just rushing by.
Yeah, I don't understand how one becomes a good loser. Is that the proper term?
I have no idea. I don't know if you said something that the FCC is going to object to. I want Americans to win. I'd like to see the medal count and us right at the top over Norway and over the Ukraine. I want the U.S. to win. Just, I can't get into it. 800-636-1067. John in Arlington, what are you excited for? Olympic events.
Hey, guys. So, Danny, along that same vein of Americans being good, I actually enjoy women's alpine downhill.
Now, real quick, what's the difference between slalom, alpine downhill? Like, I don't know the difference between all these different things.
So, alpine, and it's basically skiing's two classes of sport, where you've got Nordic is like cross-country.
Yep, yep.
And alpine is anything downhill. And within that, you've got the Super G combined slalom. You've got several events on the downhill. And we actually have a superstar named Michaela Schifrin. It's just awesome to watch. And she's actually more decorated now than Tiger Woods ex Lindsey Vonn.
Oh,
so, when it comes to defense, they actually hose down those hills that are sometimes 45 to 50 degrees down. They hose them down with water at night. So they're basically skiing on ice downhill.
So thank you for the call. Yes, Tommy.
Danny, I speak Olympic nerd. What he was going for there is the alpine skiing are the people that wear the jumpsuits and the slick back helmets, and they're going in and out of the flags.
I thought that was slalom.
So that is part of the alpine movement, right, Tommy?
Yeah, slalom is where there's the humps right next to each other, and they just go down in a straight line by touching both sides.
Oh, is this the one where
they're going like 80 miles an hour?
Yeah. So how many different alpine events are there?
I have no idea. That was a question for our caller.
There are multiple alpine events, though.
I would assume so.
You don't win the gold medal in alpine skiing. You win the gold medal in the Super G.
What's the one where you finally get yourself a straightaway and they tuck their poles straight back and make themselves in a little teeny tiny ball and just goes and go flying straight down
the hill?
That's downhill?
No, that's alpine.
That's alpine?
Yeah.
It's one of the alpine events. I don't know which one, but it's one of the alpine events.
I like to watch for 1 second one guy do the ski jump one. You know what I'm talking about? Where you make yourself rigid and just stand straight and everybody, you're supposed to be able to measure
it's
some
a
sort
long
of talent
jump
with that.
On skis.
Yeah, and it's terrifying because they're a million miles in the air. I do a move, and the first time I did it in front of my wife, entertained by it. The next 7,000 times she's seen me do it, not entertained by it, Tommy. I get on an escalator going down, and I pretend I'm doing the pole move where I'm getting momentum, and then we start to go down the escalator, and I stand still and make myself rigid like I'm jumping down the mountain. People have seen it, and they've chuckled, mildly chuckled.
I get it, but there's no jump at the end.
Oh, I know that.
So there's no payoff.
You
so
should just, like, bunny
no, I
hop
do,
off.
No, I do a landing. I've done the full landing before, going down the metro. People get annoyed because you're supposed to stand to the right, walk to the left. I've done it before. The first time I did it, she goes, oh, that's neat. It's kind of charming. It's now to the point where she like, cups her face in embarrassment.
I think
you should
only...
fights?
Yeah, because it's... because I know that she knows... No, wait. I know that... it irritates her, and I still do it.
Where you do it, and then you get on the metro, and she doesn't say a word for the entire trip.
Yeah, before, at least three stops. It's the three-stop minimum ice out. I think it's funny, and it's one of those things that I'm hoping. I keep doing it enough, and I punch through that wall. Something's funny at first becomes unfunny because you keep hitting it, and then you break through with that one final time, it becomes funny.
Or is it a once-every-4-years joke?
No, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Kind of out of place in the middle of the summer games.
Exactly. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Take a couple more of these. Also want to get into this this Josh McDaniels story. Again, there's another layer, but the guy that pulled out of a job that assistants were moved to. There's another layer to it that I want to kick around with you, Craig. But a couple more of your calls on Olympic events that we're interested in. Again, 1145, we will win off the field. It's Grant and Danny, 1067 The Fan. It is Danny Ruvier for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Oh, now is the time, people. Right now. That's right. Tedbert Ford, they do it and they do it big. I got two cars from Tedbert Ford. I love these guys and you will too. Here's what happened. 2016, I went to Tedbert Ford. I got a Ford Edge. Great car, right? One of the best cars I've ever driven. I say one of the best because I got a story coming later. Love the 2016 Ford Edge. The wife drives that now. I need a car. It's my turn. So I go get a 2017 Ford Fusion. That's the best car I've ever had because I don't get gas. I've gotten gas 5 times since I got it last May. That's good value, my friends. You can get good value on a 2018 Ford Fusion, lease one for just $150 a month. $150 a month. 2018 Ford Escape, same thing, just $150 a month on that lease deal. 2018 Ford Explorer, just $249 a month. It's the perfect car if you got that family, right? You're chugging around, going to soccer practice, you're going to bassoon lessons, oboe, whatever you do, I don't know your life. Get yourself one at Ted Britt Ford. And the granddaddy, how about the F-150? 2018 F-150. Buy one for up to $11,000 off the MSRP or lease one for $249 a month. Either way, you can go to Fairfax, you can go to Chantilly, you see my guys at Ted Britt Ford, and when you go, tell them Danny sent you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am on Twitter at Funny Danny. Craig is?
At Craig Hoffman.
Craig Hoffman. Not Chris Hoffman, mind you. Totally different person who I emailed yesterday.
But he'll respond to your emails.
What we were going to do on the show. Appreciate the calls on Winter Olympic events. Just as a grand total to keep everybody on track here, we got two. One guy was like, yeah, there's a girl that does skiing, and our buddy Tom in Bethesda is going to say Carling. So I appreciate Tom calling. We're going to move on from this. So keep in mind, not a ton of interest, it sounds like, in the old winter games here. Here's something I'm interested in. And Greg, you cover the Redskins and have covered the Redskins. You've been around the NFL an awful long time. You know this league pretty well, I would say. Josh McDaniels' move is newsworthy for a couple reasons. One, it very rarely something like this happens. The Bill Belichick Jet situation, that even that took an owner passing away and, you know, a Bill Parcells kind of overarching presence and uncertainty there and confusion. So Belichick being named the coach of the Jets in 2000 and then basically a day later being like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Then going to the Patriots. That's a mess. This doesn't happen, what Josh McDaniels did the other day, right? It's not newsworthy because it's him, because it has to do with the Patriots. It's newsworthy because this doesn't happen.
They had a verbal agreement of some kind saying, like, yeah, I'm probably going to be your head coach. And depending on who you ask, McDaniel says, I told him, yeah, probably I'll be your head coach, but I still need to talk it over with my family. That's not going to happen until after the season because we're trying to win the Super Bowl. And it's as much, look, there are some people, like, do you read Greg Doyle's column in the Indianapolis Star?
Yeah.
Like, that was the fire of a thousand suns flaming, just destroying McDaniels. The reality's probably not there that it's because he's a jerk, to quote Doyle in the column. It's just the reality of, you, like, it's really hard to be an NFL offensive coordinator, especially in the playoffs. It's a time-consuming job. Nevertheless, when you're doing it for Bill Belichick, who is on top of details more than any other coach, arguably in the history of the league, and then also decide about your long-term future. So it's a bad process, but I don't really know what the fix is, because the alternative is you wait, wait in air quotes, till after the playoffs are done for everyone to have a fair shot at hiring coaches, but then you're going to have all kinds of tampering and all this kind of stuff. Like, you aren't really going to wait. And the reason is because a lot of these people, front office, assistant coaches, head coaches, are represented by the same agents, which is where this McDaniel story gets fun.
So this is what's the next layer of it is interesting to me. So we've the sports world and the news world too moves so quickly. It's at the speed of light. We're locusts. We consume one thing and we go on to whatever the next scandal is. Now everyone's talking about the NBA trade deadline and the like. The fact that Josh McDaniels backed out of an agreement. And to me, I don't buy Josh McDaniels' word on this for 1 second, for the record. Assistants were told, the contract terms were negotiated. He spent 2 hours on the phone with the GM Grigson about their plans, who they were going to hire, what they were going to run, and everything else. McDaniels changed his mind. It's just right. It's just prerogative. It just means that no one's going to trust you from now on. And make your bed. Jim Riggleman made his bed years ago, Craig, as the Nationals manager. He was so ticked off he didn't have an extension. He couldn't believe that the people he worked for, who don't do that, in the Lerners and Mike Rizzo, weren't offering him one. He just quit. If you want to quit, you're not going to manage again. That's your be aware of that. That's your
right.
choice. Now, I'm amazed that Riggleman's been back in baseball at all, because he's known as a good guy and he's been bench coach and a bunch of other things.
And there were people in the league that thought he was right, which helps.
Yeah, maybe he will manage again. I don't know. To me, it's pro sports. You don't get in for job security. Same thing here. You know, you don't get in this field because you're like, I'd like to be able to come to work every day and work 9 to 5 and then go home with a pension. You don't
nope.
do that. It's not part of it. So to me, McDaniels is the villain. His agent, Bob Lamont.
Former agent, Bob Lamont.
Ah, that's the key. Terminated his relationship with Josh McDaniels in the wake of it. Now, a bit of background. You probably never heard of Bob Lamont. I never had before this either.
Big NBA or NFL power agent.
He is the agent for coaches and executives. Everybody knows Drew Rosenhaus. Everybody knows Scott Boras. Everyone knows, Brody Van Wagenen at CAA and all these other guys. Everyone knows some of these big players who are negotiating these mega huge deals. Lamont is a superstar for the coaching stuff. He generated buzz around John Gruden every year. He's John Gruden's agent, by the way. Even though John Gruden, his last however many years in Tampa, wasn't particularly effective, wasn't really that good. There's always this John Gruden buzz. Gruden wants that. He pays Lamont for it. Lamont does that, and finally they decided they got their 10-year whatever deal, right? The $100 million. He dropped Josh McDaniels in the wake of this. It's very rare that you would see that. Very, very rare, because you know McDaniels at some point is going to get a deal from the Patriots, or if he's the head coach in waiting, he's going to get – that's a payday for Lamont that he just said, no, thank you.
Yeah, and the reason is because he had to preserve his relationships with other people involved. Lamont is not only was McDaniels' agent. He's also the agent for Chris Ballard, who's the GM in Indy.
Right.
He is the agent for Matt Eberflus, who is the defensive coordinator now in Indy, despite the fact that they don't have a head coach. I think there was another one of the assistants that got hired that was also a Bob Lamont client. So this stuff happens, and it doesn't just happen on the coaching side. You'll remember with the whole Garoppolo trade, part of the reason they were struggling to figure out some kind of Brady, Garoppolo, whatever, is because they couldn't keep any secrets. Don Yee was the agent for both Brady and Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the interesting thing, and even though this can happen in our business too, or any business where there's agents involved, like, I don't know how many other late 20s dudes I want, if I were to decide tomorrow I want an agent for whenever it is that I'm next going to have some job negotiation.
Right.
How many other people do I want that my agent has similar to me? And it's in the NFL, and the NBA and all these leagues, it's hard. So, like, if you're in the NBA and you got two good guards and you're talking to a team, like, which one are you trying to pitch hard? Like, there's conflicts of interest over. Yeah. Or if you're a team trying to negotiate a trade, and this is also how all the legal tampering happens, because let's say player A is on the team that's negotiating, or is on the team that the agent wants to negotiate with about player B. Oh, we were just talking about player A. Mm-hmm. There's already on their team. We weren't tampering.
So here's the ESPN story on this. A couple quotes from Lamont. "My word is my bond," Lamont told Sports Business Journal on Wednesday. "Once you break that, there's nothing left." A source went on to say that Lamont told McDaniels he was, quote, committing professional suicide.
Yep.
Pretty extreme stuff here. Now, I will say this real quick. I, as a mildly accomplished stand-up comic, years ago, when the economy was booming and everybody that had 30 minutes of stand-up was basically getting a sitcom, and everybody that had a sitcom was then getting a movie, and everybody was getting everything. They just wanted, after in the wake of Seinfeld, everyone loves Raymond, whoever else, Tim Allen, sitcom, special. Everyone's getting all kinds of stuff. So what these agencies were doing was they wanted to spend a little and find the next guy. And so they would, you know, work for you to make, you know, a $500 gig over the course of the weekend, and they made $50. That's not worth their time, not worth their energy. But in case I blew up or the guy next to me blew up or whoever else, then you're Dave Coulier's agent and you make $1 million every time he blows his nose. I've been dropped several times by agencies as the economy started to tank. And then the guys that were getting movies got TV shows. The TV show guys went back to doing stand-up. And then the stand-up guys doing theaters went back to doing clubs, and so on and so forth. That happens. That's part of it. I was dropped summarily. The agency kind of holds all the rights. It's like the gatekeeper in the Matrix. So it's a different industry, obviously, than what it is in the NFL. But to me, the relationship should go like this. Agent should work for the client to put them in the best possible situation. If the client doesn't want to do the work, doesn't want it, I have no problem with the agent dropping him.
Yeah. No, I have
no problem with it.
I can't blame Lamont here, but I also can't blame McDaniels. Like, I think the reason McDaniels didn't want to do it probably has to go back to Jim Irsay and the ownership in Indy, that he just did not feel that in Andrew Luck's shoulder. Like, hey, you know what? On second thought, this probably isn't the best opportunity for me. And so now that I've had a chance to think about it, and oh, by the way, the Patriots are finally telling me for the first time they actually would like me back, I think I'm going to sit tight for right now. And that, I can't blame. Sometimes, like, it's ugly, it's weird, it's awful for the Colts because all their other guys that they wanted, Mike Vrabel's now in Tennessee, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, would you rather have a coach who's not real keen on being there, or would you rather try again and, you know, maybe they go hire Frank Reich, who's the Eagles offensive coordinator, who just beat McDaniels in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation for sure, but it's an interesting wrinkle. Let's run off the field next. Beltway Blitz at noon. Craig Hoffman in for Grant. It is Grant and Danny on the Fan. I have a quick opportunity to say something here. Jim Tom Sula was doing it. It's a remix. I stepped on it, Tommy. Hoard you.
I wouldn't say that.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Coach. More importantly,
that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. So there's that little gap when it's like hands go up. You've got like a three count to get
right
in what you want to get in.
Unless Jim Tom Sula is trying to speak.
I didn't know it was the Tom Sula remix.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Appreciate it, Coach. We do it every Friday. It's a pancake breakfast. 11:45, we went off the field. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We do it, Craig. Because you're, and Craig is in for Grant, by the way. We do this.
Hey, Bob.
It's Craig,
hey,
sir. Craig. Craig?
Bob.
Craig?
Bob.
Craig.
Hey, Bob.
We'll go with Bob. We do this.
Being called worse.
We do this because Bruce Allen, not the time he greeted Bob McNair, the owner of the Houston Texans,
Bob,
with the governor of Virginia, and then they had this awkward back and forth of just old men with their alcoholic beverages just slapping each other on the back, doing slapstick on Hard Knocks. Not that greeting, not that whole exchange. We don't do it because of that. We do this because Bruce Allen stood in front of a group of people, assembled reporters after a disastrous season, and he told them that the team wasn't good.
Winning off the field?
That's what he said.
But we got to start winning on the field.
That was what he was trying to tell people.
It is why Bruce Allen has not done a press conference since I started covering the Redskins.
Except for that impromptu one where he was mad at Kirk. Well, that wasn't in his office.
That wasn't really a press conference.
It's not a conference.
It's why he has not been allowed to let's rephrase. You're correct. It's why he has not been allowed to answer questions since I started covering the team, which is three football seasons ago.
That's something. That is something.
He's only the one making the decisions.
800-636-1067. Now, you know how to do this.
Yes.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first just to make sure you're comfortable with your example?
Here's my problem, though.
Okay.
When you're in the process of buying a car,
yep.
There's not a whole lot else going on in life.
That's what you're doing.
So, like, and buying a car does not count as winning off the field. That's an on-the-field win.
That's a major life purchase.
Winning
so
on the field.
I don't
that
know if I've done any winning off the field. I'm going to have to think of this. So you're at the very least going to have to go first to Stahl, if I even have an example at all, which is a terrible debut from me.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Because, again, this is people. I remember when Nick Sundberg came in. Was that a little big time? I just casually dropped Nick Sundberg. When
as
Nick came
do.
In, Will Montgomery's been in before. They were nervous about doing this segment. They wanted to make sure they did it right. And
I end up just watching.
That's what happened. That's what ended up happening. Nick watched a couple callers go. Then he did one. It was about like he did something with like his Amazon Fire Stick, like hooked up to his Apple TV.
What?
No, I'm just saying it's a technology thing, Stone Australian guy. And he was able to watch this show that he'd wanted to watch, like, and he was very proud of himself. He like beamed something from something to something else. It was very impressive.
All I had was MeUndies on.
I'll give you an example of how I'm winning off the field. It's very basic. Again, some teeny tiny moral victory, something good that happened to me. It's very simplistic. Last night, as I mentioned to you before the show, went to a friend's 40th birthday party. That's where my
Danny
life is
Rauer.
Now. It's Danny Rouillet, the fun guy. He's a fun guy. I went to a 40th birthday that started at 5, ended at 8. That's just kind of where our life is now.
That's kind of what happens at 40.
Yeah, it was a happy hour. It was very nice.
He's a fun guy.
Thank you, Kirk. The wife took the little guy out to dinner. They went to Chef Jeff's, which I love. Chef Jeff's is awesome. She got me a to-go steak from Chef Jeff's.
That's a major win.
I get home at 8:30. I got steak and green beans. Therefore, I was
winning off the field.
Now, you feel comfortable? You want to go to a couple calls?
Let's go to a couple calls.
All right. Rich and only the bat signal went up, so he is first. Richard, good morning.
He's a fun
guy. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Bob.
So, I tweaked my back a little bit unloading the truck at work, so I went to my guy, Dr. Spiro, at Potomac Valley Chiropractic. He fixed me up nice, went up front. Lady said, nope, you don't have a copay today. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And boom goes the dynamite.
That's a major win. Chiropractors, they will change your life.
The people that I know.
I just like the way I just felt.
Well, after the chiropractor, Jay, is what we're talking about. The people that do it swear by it.
Count me in.
You're a chiro guy?
Yes. Go at least once a week.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And it's like one crack and you're like, Jay?
It's a lot of cracks. My body's pretty beat up.
Jay, do you do the chiropractor?
Oh, man.
How do you feel afterwards?
I just like the way I just felt.
Oh, good. Okay. 800-636-1067. Julian and Alexandra, of course. What's up, bud?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Listen, I'm winning off the field today because I kept a scumbag scam artist from India on the telemarketing thing. On hold for about half an hour, 45 minutes,
on hold.
Called up and said, yeah, well, he said, oh, yeah, this is Dominion Power. We're going to cut your lights off in 30 minutes, so it's kind of important you get your manager or boss on the phone. So I'm like, oh, yeah, sure thing. Just hold on a second. He's on a phone call. 15 minutes later, oh, yeah, please don't hang up. I'm on the way. He's coming right now.
Amazing.
And I just did that 3-4 times because I was just like, and eventually I got on the phone, and I'm like, you know, I hope you know I don't believe a single word you're saying. And then he's like, oh, really? Well, just wait because the technician's coming. The technician's coming.
Yeah,
and then
I'm sure
Craig
he is.
Hung up the phone.
That's awesome.
Winning
good job,
off the
dude.
Field.
So, Craig, I had.
I flipped you.
I had one of those. Now, not the Dominion Power one, but I even did a double play about this not too long ago. The IRS scam is back. You're familiar with this?
Yeah.
It's where
I've heard some commercials about it.
Yeah, it's where it's not the actual IRS, because that's...
Right, it's the scam.
Yeah, but like the guy, somebody calls you pretending to be from the IRS, and they're like, you've got a past due payment. You've got to do it right now. You've got to pay us right
we
now.
We got it on the line? Hello.
The IRS doesn't do that, Danny. They don't. They don't call you on the phone. They send you stern letters with a lot of exclamation points.
Right.
They don't call you asking for like debit card information or whatever else, but people have fallen for this. It's been successful. So... The guy goes to me, can you just confirm your address for us? And I go, no, you confirm it to me, and I'll tell you if you're right. She said, no, that's not the way it works. I said, well, it is for me. You are the IRS. You've got all my info. If you've got it right in front of you, tell me where I live. And so I go back and forth with this guy. I had fun. My wife was like, who are you talking to? I was like, don't worry about it. I'm having a great conversation with my new friend. What was your name?
I'm going to file charges against you for harassment.
Samuel, I believe he claimed his name was, from the IRS. So we went back and forth for a while. And eventually, I think he kind of gave up. And I was like, yeah, I'm just send it to my address, which I'm sure you have. Send me the notice, and I'll be happy to pay it.
Right. Do you ever use the impression skills with telemarketers and just like, yeah, I got my friend Charles here.
I don't appreciate y'all calling me at home, even though I don't have a home phone. I got a cellular phone, but that's like a home phone. I'm home everywhere I'm at, so don't call me no more.
It's something like that. I have fun. I've done Yoda on the phone to telemarketers before.
I think we should have telemarketers call and record them and use it as bits.
Do it.
Don't boss me, Kate
Upton. Hokey radio thing that I just did there.
Do it.
Suggested that we do.
We're going to Beltway Blitz in 5 minutes. We will talk some Wizards. We will talk some Capitals. We will talk some Redskins. That is 5 minutes away on 106.7. The Fan. Danny Ruye, my guy's Jared Ford. I am going to do it, Kate. Don't tell me what to do.
Do it now.
Don't tell me, Holden. I'm going to do my read. I'm doing it. Boss me around like that. Shut up, Yoda. Your wisdom is appreciated. All right. Where was I?
Do it.
I'm going to do it, Kate. It's Tedford Ford time. Can you listen up, please? Yelling at people like that, telling people to do things.
Do it now.
I'm holding. Enough. Go to Tedford Ford, okay? Fairfax or Chantilly. I'm doing it. Fairfax or Chantilly, click away at Tedford.com, okay? You get a great deal on a brand spanking new Ford. It can be new to you. You got pre-owned vehicles. Anything less than 100,000 miles, folks, you get Tedford for life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. Lifetime. Big stuff. Powertrain. Little stuff. Like they'll replace your windshield if it cracks or chips. Battery replacement every 4 years. Plus, you got some great deals on some rides now. 2018 Ford Explorer. You can lease one for just $249 a month.
Oh, man.
That's a great deal, Jay. Tell me you get excited about this one, Jay. 2018 Ford Fusion. I got the 2017 Ford Fusion. I love it. You could lease a 2018 Ford Fusion, Jay, for just $150 a month. Your thoughts?
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. You like it more or less than Rob Kelly? Who's to say?
Oh, man.
You like it a lot. Ted Britt makes the difference. You talk to Ted, you save thousands. $150 a month lease deal on a 2018 Escape. You can lease a Ford F-150, 2018 F-150, for just $249 a month, or buy one for up to $11,000 off the MSRP. Bottom line, big story is this. Your big picture. Go see my guy, Ted Britt. Save a bunch of money, drive off in a great car, have a good day. When you go, tell him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.